Amen. Thank you. Excuse me while I look around a little bit. This microphone is supposed to have a little foam windscreen. That's not it. But sometimes some smaller people among us will play up here. So we just wonder if it was played with one of these weeks. Anyway, God bless you, and God is using you. God is showing people his love through you. God is showing people his will through you. God is touching people through you, encouraging people through you. Every day, every day. And so be willing, be aware that you're a tool in his hands. Your joy, your care, your hard work at your employment, your kindness to your neighbor, the way you drive, the way you talk, the way you think, all can come up as glorifying God. Let's go to our Father in prayer before we start this lesson. Heavenly Father, thank you more than we can say for the magnificent gifts you continually give us. Of course, the greatest gift ever was Jesus Christ and the reunion we have with you being in him. Help us to appreciate that, Father. Help us to focus on sharpening that always, Father, that we can be more careful and more attuned and more clear about following you and your word. Father, we pray for those we've been talking about. We think about the war going on in the Middle East, that your peace can reign there and you can reach people there, that you'll bring real peace there and here and around the planet, Father, desperately need more care in following your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. So I encourage taking notes, but that comes with a double-edged consideration. When I start saying you need to take notes to any lesson of mine, it sounds way too self-focused in my brain, because it's God's lessons, and I got to be super careful with how we teach, how I teach. But today's lesson is particularly focused on us being careful to follow the scriptures that say, be careful to follow the scriptures. That makes sense? That it's from our Heavenly Father we repeatedly get told, follow the word. Follow what we taught you. Be careful to follow what we taught you closely. Pay attention, etc., etc., etc. So if you're helping somebody else understand that lesson, this would be a good list of scriptures to write down. This by no means is all the scriptures that talk about being careful to follow the word. But I think these are particularly practical. And so if you're helping somebody else learn about the Bible, or you just want a set of notes that help you to be able to teach somebody where it is in scripture that says be careful to follow scripture, the list we talk about today might be helpful in that. Pay close attention to yourself, and we'll see the mix of the two and your teaching. In 1 Timothy 4, 1 Timothy 4, from the beginning of the chapter, it talks about people falling away from the word and not following it carefully. But in verse 11, prescribe or command and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, in conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example to those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. In verse 16, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, 1 Timothy 4:16 now, as you do this, you will ensure salvation both of yourself and those who hear you. What a beautiful teaching. What a specific teaching. What a powerful teaching to be careful to follow the word, because that's the pathway of salvation. Michaels, thank you so much for the way you brought us back to the cross and reminded us that our faith and the gift of our very selves brings us to that gift of salvation. Chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. Timothy is being told to be very careful and to make sure that he teaches starting in verse 3. As I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain in Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach false or strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and genealogies which gives rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of this instruction is to win arguments and make the other people feel bad. No, I'm sorry. This is significant as we're teaching people to be careful to follow the word. The goal of our instruction is love. The goal of making sure, this is why I emphasizing the mixture, and scriptures emphasize the mixture of self and doctrine. Self and doctrine. The goal of this is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. For some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussions, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they don't understand either what they're saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. They don't understand. That's why that's up there. They don't understand. There are people who don't understand either the goal of teaching careful doctrine or the careful doctrine itself. We need to be people who are careful with our heart and with what we teach. So that not only are we careful about following the word and helping other people follow the word, but we do so remembering that there's a high goal here, and the goal is love. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is what we've talked about in the past. I solemnly charge you, verse 1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their own ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. See, self-will, my will is a lousy thing for me to follow. My desires, my will, my priorities, my goals are so continuously shallow and empty and selfish. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, and do the work, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. These powerful, beautiful teachings remind us again that we're to be careful at following the word, but we're doing so by submitting our lives and additionally. 2 Timothy, what we just got Matt reading with us. I just want to touch on two verses here. Now you followed my teaching in verse 10. You followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings. Verse 14, continue in them. You followed my teachings. Don't stop. Continue. Keep going. Continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, etc., etc. And the last verse, 17, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Scripture prepares us for anything that's good. Amazing, astounding teachings we get out of God's word. All of these are in connection with teachers coming out of Timothy and Titus, and now in Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. We're not going to do detour into Titus 2 right now with the list that comes after that, but every part of this list is personal. It's family oriented. It's one group of, it's the older women, older men, younger women, younger men, servants, etc. It's this list of people for the teaching, their lives are for the teaching of sound doctrine. Sound doctrine isn't just assemble together on the first day of the week, make sure that when you pick elders among you that you do so with these considerations. It isn't just make sure you pray continually or rejoice always. It's a life. It's a life. It's a way we connect with each other. Sound teachings, which is all doctrine means. Doctrine is just a word for teachings. Sound teachings is the way we live our lives. And it ends these verses, that our lives are to make sure that the word of God will not be dishonored, that we are people who are careful to teach doctrine and not teach false doctrine, to be careful to follow the word of God, to be careful that when we bring somebody to Christ, we teach them what faith means, we teach them what baptism is for. We teach them about preparing themselves to be baptized and their commitment to Christ for the rest of their lives. We don't do that just because we're opinionated about that. We do that because the word continually tells us, make sure you teach it the way we gave it to you. Make sure you teach it the way you gave it to you. We get so much pride. We are tempted with so much pride to say, yep, I got it right. I got it right. I got the New Testament figured out. I know how to be a Christian. I know what. Please, Father, keep me away from any of those attitudes. We're careful with the word, not because we're so smart, not because we've got it right, but because he repeatedly asks us, commands us, tells us, be careful with my word. Teach it the way I gave it to you. Teach it the way I gave it to you. We hear this from Jesus. Mark chapter 7, verse 6 through 8. Look at verse 7. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God. You hold to the traditions of men. He begs us, warned people while he was teaching on this earth, don't follow human tradition, follow God's word. There are so many traditions that we add to Christian faith. There are so many layers upon layers upon layers of things that get in the way of people's lives, rather than staying with the simple, specific pathway the church was given in the first century. In John chapter 14, Jesus puts it this way, if anyone loves me, John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Jesus pleading with us, keep my word, follow my word, listen to my words. And of course, famously, Matthew 28, verse 18, we have Jesus came and spoke to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. A statement of his authority to say these things. You and I have no authority to drop these things. We have no authority to change what we've been taught. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We get reminder and instruction after instruction after instruction to make sure we are careful with the word. And we teach others to be careful with the word. We have this from Paul in Paul 15, verses 1 and 2. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. John says it this way in 1 John, our apostle and brother John. 1 John 5, let's start in verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. You know, there's so many different ways we can know that the Bible wasn't written by any human. But think about that sentence. By this we know that we love each other. We love each other. We love the children of God. When we love God, well, that's okay. And observe his commandments and follow his word. The way you treat your husband, the way you treat your wife, shows your love for me and each other. The way you run your prayer life is your love for each other. That's what he says. And we can see it when we think about the strength and the growth and the relationships that are being built by that and the lives that are being built by those things. But what an interesting verse. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Fascinating, amazing. The writer of Hebrews tells us this in chapter 2. And there's another thing going on here that we'll take a tiny detour just to highlight. For this reason, the reason is he just finished talking about angels and the way angels serve and the connection, then Christ is greater than the angels. For this reason, we must pay much attention. Hebrews 2, verse 1. For this reason, because of the magnificence of Christ, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience proved to be received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. In other words, Jesus taught the 12 and the 12 went and taught the church. It first came from the Lord, and it was given to the apostles, and the apostles came and gave it to the church and wrote it down for the church, etc. God, verse 4, and this is the tiny little detour we get to have today. This is free. God, I know, quit being silly, Robert. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. How did they know in the first century that when Peter walked into town and started teaching, that he was saying something from God? It was different than what they had heard before. He's talking about a man named Jesus who we're supposed to trust, and who, by the way, came back to life after being executed. How can you trust that? You can trust that because they saw Peter performing miracles. They saw signs and wonders and gifts. That does a couple of things. It shows that the miracles given in the first century didn't continue once the word was written down. No longer do we have apostles, but we have their writings, we have their teachings, and the testimony given in the first century without a written word was testified by miracles. And once we ran out of apostles, we ran out of the ability to pass on miracles, according to Acts chapter 8. So this gives us the reason for miracles in the first century. This gives us an explanation of why they were able to heal people and do different types of miracles and signs. Specifically, God says, as a testimony, that their word is my word, by God's point of view. James puts following the Bible this way, in the New Testament. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness, James 1:21, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not hearers only. Hearers will delude themselves, he writes. From Peter, we get this admonition in 1 Peter chapter 1. Since you have an obedience to the truth, he writes that as an assumption, as a proclamation. Since you all have obeyed the word, since you all have obeyed the truth, in the obedience of the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brothers. And again, what an interesting connection that your obedience to the gospel results in loving each other. That when you come to Christ, it is so absolutely clear in the New Testament that we are not supposed to be alone as Christians. We are not supposed to be alone. This is not a single walk. This is a walk of a body of people. This is a walk of a church, an assembly of people. This is a walk of a gathering of people called out from the world. And in our obedience to the word, every part of our obedience to the word is love for one another. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is grass, and all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. It is significant that we are confident that we hold an accurate presentation, an accurate copy of what those apostles wrote and sent to the church. And the last part of verse 25, and this is the word which was preached to you. What an encouragement. That great word of God is exactly what you received when I came and visited you, he writes. You know this. You know this. What an astounding, astounding encouragement we get. So who watches out today? Who else watches out today? In Acts chapter 20, we'll look at verse 31 and 32. The entire section there is about Paul calling the elders from Ephesus out to meet him. He said, we'll never see each other again, but I want to meet with you all one more time. It's a beautiful story, but we won't have time in the sermon to take it. So we'll just look at verse 31 and 32. Therefore, to the elders, he's writing, but we can all take this as something we participate in. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one in tears. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. This duality of the word again, build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I never stop talking. I never stop teaching you. I never stop helping you to know the word of God. And he calls it the word of his grace. Who else watches today? God and the word of his grace. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Which is what we had earlier. Second. Holding fast the faithful word which is according with the teaching, so that we will both be able to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. We must hold firm, Paul writes to Titus, we must hold firm to the trustworthy word as it was taught. And finally, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul writes these words, starting in verse 1. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God with much opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, we speak not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is our witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we proved gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children, having so fond an affection for you that we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. For you had become very dear to us. Paul makes these points in these verses. It was hard. We had a lot of opposition. We had a lot of angry people. We had a lot of people who didn't agree with what we were saying. We had a lot of people who were fighting against us in what we were saying. But we continued to teach you the gospel. And in teaching you the gospel, we gave you no error. We gave you no impurity. We twisted no words. There was no deceit in what we did. And we did it not to please people. Our goal wasn't ever to be people pleasers, but God pleasers. We want to please our Heavenly Father. We want to teach what His word is. And then he went on to say, we never came with flattering speech or pretext of greed, et cetera, et cetera. All those things that get in the way of speaking. You know, I want you to praise me. I want you to pay me. I want you to whatever to me. It's not about us. It's not about any of us. It's not about us. None of those, he said, you can challenge me on any of those things. None of those things are in the way. But we shared our lives with you. And that gets back to that love between the lesson, the teaching, and the people. And Paul says, you know how we lived with you to the Thessalonian church. We weren't just giving you information. We were sharing our lives with you because we loved you so very much. Or more purely, as the scripture reads, having so fond an affection for you, having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. So it's not just following the word. We get lesson after lesson after lesson in this kind of a list. Follow the word. Be careful with the word. Don't depart from the word. The word is there for salvation. But nearly every place we read that, we got the additional aspect of relationship. The goal of this command is love. This is done for the love of the brothers. And we did this because you were so very dear to us. Never, never let us become casual about these relationships. Don't take each other for granted. When you're obeying God's word in another part of your life, it's a statement of your love for somebody sitting here next to you. Let's live that way. Let's interconnect that way. Let's honor each other that way. Let's encourage each other that way. What an amazing set of teachings. And let us always, 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 of course, be careful to follow not traditions created by men and women, but to follow God's word the way Christ gave it to us, the way the apostles gave it to us, and the way they taught each other. If there's any here today who are ready to be baptized into Christ, as we read Jesus talking about, we're ready to help you with that. If you have any other need that we can help you with, come forward and let us know while we stand and sing the song that we've selected.